Fed News, Issue 47, November 2020. Fed News is a publication of the National Federation of the Blind of the United Kingdom for its members. Any items we consider should be shared with the world at large are published on our website. The NFB UK website is at www.nfbuk.org. Welcome to Issue 47 of Fed News. This is a magazine for NFB UK members, so, as well as being written for you, we invite you to write articles and reports for inclusion in its pages. Please mark submissions as for Fed News. The deadline for submitting pieces for the next issue is Wednesday, the 13th of January 2021. Do you subscribe to the Fed Talk? Fed Talk is an NFB UK publication in sound only, consisting of recorded views of members and articles. Members can say what they think in their own recorded words. For more information about Fed Talk, contact our administrator at admin@nfbuk.org or phone 01924 291 313. While these COVID-19 times continue, you may be asked to leave a message. We do check for your messages. Contents. Track 3, Editorial. Track 4, Circulars. Track 5, Surprise. Track 6, Update on Social Distancing Campaigning. Track 7, Review for the Year. Track 8, Obituary for Phil Rigby. Track 9, A Campaigns Update. Track 10, A Taxi Rank That's Too Close. Track 11 is Surprise. Track 12, Campaigning in the Age of Zoom. Track 13, Ready Steady Cook. Track 14, Different Times, Different Comparisons. Track 15, A Surprise. Track 16, Don't Stop Me Now. Track 17, Just Try TM. Track 18, Information and Announcements. Track 19, A Surprise. Track 20, Conclusion. Editorial by Carl Farrell. Time is taking us relentlessly towards Christmas, part of that festive season. The approach of the new year always leads me to question whether I have done enough this year, and mostly I rate myself at less than 100%. But apart from me, what about the NFB UK? They thought it was all over in 2010 when the RNIB asked a consultant to assess what future for NFB UK. She reported that at then rate of spending, our future would be in months rather than years. But along came David Bates to chop back our head office spending, and we climbed back up from just £27,000 in the bank to our present level of relative safety. But what have we got to show for our surviving? Led by our shared space coordinator, we campaigned to oppose local implementation of shared space schemes, and 2 years ago, the government announced a pause. We made it known that curbs protect pavements for pedestrians and controlled crossings allow us to cross the high street and shop on the other side. We discovered that in Europe, shared spaces prior rights for cyclists and bus stop bypasses, island bus stops, were regarded as acceptable because, over there, there was no equality duty, no legal requirement that streets should be usable by all. Why did the UK have to wait for us to tell them these things? Ultimately, some 500 organisations signified their support for our campaign to stop the closure of the BBC Red Button service. Unfortunately, the main organisations of and for visually impaired people were perplexed about this campaign, presuming that what was really needed was simply a more accessible internet. They failed to realise that there is a large body of unofficial, low-sight and partially sighted people who didn't realise or could not admit that their sight was failing, and others who cannot migrate to new technologies. We obviously need to improve at getting over our message to people near and far away. Our use of Zoom to meet and share goes on. Some enterprising members in London branch, being unable to travel away to their annual weekend in Eastbourne, set up and ran their Eastbourne online weekend, complete with wine tasting no less. It needs emphasising that our social activities combat isolation and enrich our lives. Those social events are possible because of the freedoms and opportunities that our campaigning seeks to protect. Since our annual general meeting in September, our General Secretary has set up regular meetings via Zoom for members across the country to share information on specific subjects. Coming up on 14th of December is a Zoom devoted to our support for the sight loss campaign. It does genuinely appear that in the next couple of months, vaccines against COVID-19 will become available to all those who want them. Even though Zoom meetings will remain part of our NFB UK life, come the summer, we will be able to resume holding face-to-face events. Branches might choose to meet less frequently face-to-face, but when they do, they might want to make something special of it. We can come together to form a stronger organisation and reach out to others to be part of society and broadcast our message. We can now look forward, hopefully, to 2021. Recent circulars and notices from the 20th of October 2020 to date. A list of the notices and circulars sent out from the NFB UK office from the 20th of October 2020 to date follows. Please check with your branch secretary if you have missed receiving any of this information. BSEC 2015 from General Secretary to Branch Secretaries, Central Branch Members. Date, the 20th of October 2020. Subject, Election Results and Awards for 2020. Reporting the results announced at the AGM. BSEC 2016 from the President to Branch Secretaries and Central Branch Members. Date, the 3rd of December 2020. Subject, Support for Sight Loss. Calling on branches to start campaigning for improved habilitation and rehabilitation services for visually impaired people. BSEC 2017 from the President to Branch Secretaries, Central Branch Members. Date, the 3rd of December 2020. Subject, AGM Minutes, including the draft minutes of the 2020 AGM as an attachment. BSEC 2018, from the President to Branch Secretaries and Central Branch Members. Date, the 3rd of December 2020. Subject, Sad News, David Bates, reporting the death of David Bates. A text to a neighbour from yet another dodgy friend of the editor. Hi Max, this is Richard next door. I've been riddled with guilt for a few months and have been trying to get up the courage to tell you face to face. When you're not around, I've been sharing your wife day and night, probably much more than you. I haven't been getting it at home recently. I know that's no excuse. The temptation was just too great. I can't live with the guilt and hope you'll accept my sincere apology and forgive me. Please suggest a fee for usage and I'll pay you. Richard. Max, feeling enraged and betrayed, grabbing his gun, went next door and shot Richard dead. He returned home, shot his wife, poured himself a stiff drink and sat down on the sofa. Max then looked at his phone and discovered a second text message from Richard. Second text message. Hi Max, Richard here again. Sorry about the typo on my last text. I assume you figured it out and noticed that the darn spell check had changed Wi-Fi to Y. Technology, huh? It will be the death of us all. Update on social distancing campaigning by Pardy Gill. The Department for Health and Social Care have published a new update to their guidance on being supported outside your home. RNIB, Guide Dogs and TPT jointly issued short clarification around the rules under Lockdown 2.0, which I circulated in early November. I have lobbied to seek urgent guidance on whether a sighted guide was count as one other person you could meet outside. I am not 100% happy with the way that their update has been worded, but it does provide reassuring clarification that sighted guiding can be provided indoors if someone is in unfamiliar surroundings, and that vulnerable people can be supported outdoors with it counting towards any headcount limit. The new guidance, which is here, www.gov.uk/supporting-people-outside-of-home. It says, this limit does not include, if you're disabled and require continuous care, any carers that are employed or volunteered to support you, up to two carers. This means you and your carers can meet outside with one other person and their carers, providing there are no more than two carers per person. It also says that you can be supported in indoor settings if you are visually impaired and need to be guided around unfamiliar settings. If you are receiving assistance from a sighted guide, I would encourage you to take a copy of the guidance above, which is official confirmation to say that your sighted guide doesn't count towards your two-person limit and that you can still be guided indoors. If you have any queries or issues that you would like me to follow up regarding this guidance or lobbying related to social distances, please email me at psgill@btinternet.com. Review for the Year by Bill Waddell. By the time you read this, Christmas will be quite close, and it will be significantly different for those ones before. So this gives us an opportunity to briefly review what has happened with NFB UK in 2020. This time last year, we were planning the 2020 summer AGM, and the COVID-19 situation was something which was far off in another country. We had been campaigning for some success against the shared space schemes, and the threat of cycle routes was ongoing. Also, a new difficulty for us was the proposed BBC withdrawal of the red button text facility on TV. Later at our 2020 AGM, it had been an adopted proposal to seek from government improved rehabilitation and other services for blind and partially sighted people. This had been masterminded by our past president, Fred Reid. The COVID-19 pandemic started early in the new year. It changed our plans for meetings, and the 2020 AGM at Derby had to be postponed and then changed to a Zoom AGM in September. Our head office had to be transferred to our administrator's home, and other work was also disrupted by lockdown regulations. Despite all this interference with our lives, we have managed to continue to function due to dedication by us all associated with our NFB UK charity Zoom meetings with members on matters of concern such as shared space, social services, rehabilitation for VIPs, red button and e-scooters. So we are functioning. Thanks to our campaigns coordinator and many others, the campaign to stop the BBC closing down the red button teletext service was largely successful, and hopefully we will have an NFB UK calendar out shortly for sale with a description and photographs to publicise our achievements in this. All in all, we the members of our charity can congratulate ourselves for carrying on despite difficulties this year. Finally, let us all do our best to have an enjoyable Christmas as possible, taking care for ours and others' safety, so we may come through this critical time to continue to be an organisation which cares for the well-being of blind and partially sighted people. As Tiny Tim says in the Charles Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, God bless us, everyone. Obituary, My Memories of Phil Rigby, by Kevin Russell. Editor's note, Phil Rigby has been known to us in NFB UK in recent years as the enduring moderator of the nfb.org email list. He often joined the discussions to clarify important points and obviously wanted to help listeners gain a better understanding of the subjects being debated. In 2011, Phil led Chester Branch out of NFB UK to make that branch into a locally based charity. However, he became a member of Central Branch and duly volunteered to take up his moderator role. We could not have found a better obituary to Phil Rigby than the printed below from Kevin Russell. Kevin has kindly given his permission for us to use the obituary, which was previously circulated on the TA VIP email list. It is with deep sadness that I have to report the sudden death of Phil Rigby. Many people reading this will have known Phil very well through attending various TA VIP events over the years. Phil died in the early hours of Saturday morning, the 7th of November, very suddenly and unexpectedly. Phil was born in 1962 and grew up in Poultonley Fylde near Blackpool, Lancashire. I first met Phil when he left his local primary school and started at Wavertree School for the Blind, Liverpool, when he was 7 years old. This was because he was losing his sight and so it was necessary for him to learn Braille, which he did very quickly and proficiently. Phil and I were at New College Worcester, formerly known as Worcester College for the Blind at the same time, but in different years. Our paths didn't cross often at Worcester, mainly because of being in different years and having a different group of friends. We really got to know one another well when I did a 2-year computer science diploma course at Bradford University and Phil was in his final year. Phil graduated in 1985 with a first class honours degree in computer science. We spent many evenings frequenting the various folk clubs of Bradford and sampling the local pubs and wonderful curry restaurants. Back then, Bradford was famous for curries and they were incredibly cheap too. Ideal for us poor students. After graduating, Phil worked for ICI as a computer software engineer and continued to work for successive companies operating on that same site in Runcorn, Cheshire, until his retirement in April of this year. While working at ICI, he moved to Chester where he lived with his wife Anne until his untimely death. Phil had many interests, including sport. He was a fervent Liverpool FC supporter and he participated in sport as well. He went on tour of Australia with the England blind cricket team. He played cricket up until last year for a local club in Chester. Phil was also a footballer, playing for the Northern Sports Club in the 1980s. He took part in an international football tournament in Spain in the 1980s. Phil was an active member of the National Federation of the Blind of the UK, where he met his wife Anne in 1995. They were married in 2003 and led a very active and busy life in Chester. They were involved in lots of local activities and, for a time, Phil was the treasurer of the Chester branch of the NFB UK. He was a fan of Status Quo and the Electric Light Orchestra, two of his favourite bands, and I know he saw the Quo a number of times in concert. He was also a massive Beatles fan, a passion that we both shared. One of my abiding memories is of a number of us, including Phil, going to see Paul McCartney in a concert at the NEC in Birmingham on his Flowers in the Dirt tour in 1990. We didn't have very good seats, but that soon changed after making contact with security at the NEC. They moved us all to the front. Phil and I were up on our feet for the whole gig. It's a memory I will always treasure. Phil joined the Board of Trustees of TAVIP, formerly known as BCAB, in 2005 and was on the board for a number of years, playing an active role in the running of the association. Phil and I were on the BCAB Board of Trustees at the same time. Phil was never afraid to speak his mind at board meetings or annual events. He always had very definite opinions on a wide range of issues. However, he was always considerate and very fair. I wish to send our sincere condolences to his wife Anne and to all Phil's family and friends at this difficult time. I have so much respect for Phil. He was a good friend who certainly won't be forgotten. Rest in peace, Phil. My thanks to Tony Stockman for supplying some information above. Campaigns Update by Devaki Sivasubramanian. The Executive Council is anxious to improve communication with the NFB UK. As a first step in achieving this, we have started coordinating our campaigning activity via Zoom. I am very honoured to serve as the General Secretary at national level while we are at the most crucial point of modernising our organisation. Since our annual general meeting in September this year, we have held 5 Zoom campaigning meetings and are in planning several more. Indeed, these will continue on an ongoing basis. The topics have all been important issues as far as sight impaired people are concerned. We have given our collective response for online consultations for the Highway Code, pavement parking, and raising accessibility standards for new homes. We have discovered that this is a very effective method of representing our views. I would like to thank all those who have participated in these meetings and who have helped our campaign team in gathering evidence. I look forward to increasing the level of involvement of the membership, thus giving you a better chance of sharing your valuable experiences and suggestions for overcoming the hurdles we, as visually impaired people, face in our day-to-day life. We would like to know of any burning issues to be considered by the team for future possible campaigns. Please let me know of any difficulties you may have which may prevent you from taking part in these meetings, and we will try and come up with a solution. Please feel free to contact either of us. Sarah Ledbetter, Assistant Campaigns Coordinator. Email sarahkiki1310@gmail.com or phone 07306 253621, or Devaki Sivasubramanian, General Secretary of NFB UK. drshivdev@hotmail.com. Phone number 07824 884 848. We will shortly be holding a meeting on our Support for Sight Loss campaign, planned on the 14th of December. Early in the new year, we plan to cover the following topics: bus stop bypasses and island bus stops, a follow-up meeting on e-scooters, access to work, managing social distancing as a vision impaired person. A Taxi Rank That's Too Close for Convenience by Cole Farrell. Visitors to Leeds travelling by rail may recall that, currently, you can walk or be guided from the train to the taxi rank in New Station Street at ground level, and this is not far. But Leeds Council now want to move the taxi rank away to another street, which will add 145 metres to the walking distance and require passengers to use a lift because the new location will be on a higher level. Leeds and District Branch are opposed to this plan. Leeds Branch is linked to the Access Usability Group, known as AUAG, which is actively opposing the planned move. NFB UK supports the branch. We surely want seamless interchanges between different modes of transport to make public transport more accessible and attractive. It is understood that AUAG continues to challenge the inherent discrimination that they consider is at the heart of these plans, and in challenging this discrimination, with the support of a woman who is registered blind, they have also submitted a discrimination claim under the Equality Act 2010 at County Court. As a pan-disability group of volunteers, we have written to the Minister for Disabled People and also Stephen Brooks, who is the Minister's Rail Sector Champion, to make them aware of our equality concerns, and we remain totally committed to taking part in any mediation process aimed at finding an equitable resolution to this matter of disability access, participation and inclusion, said an AUAG spokesperson. Let's get this into perspective. Correspondent unknown. We seem to be annoyed by absolutely everything. Vegetarians are enraged by people who eat meat. Remainers by people who voted for Brexit. Poor people are enraged when a rich neighbour applies for planning permission to plant a hedge. There's no tolerance at all. The middle ground has become as alien as Mars, and it's got to stop. Everyone, Tories, Muslims, young people, the elderly, migrants, rockers, hip-hoppers, Jewish people, vegetabilists, white people, bacon enthusiasts, speech freaks, the fat, the fit, the timid, black people, policemen, Christians, vicars and socialists. If you want to live in a happy country, we've all got to come together as one and gang up on the cyclists. Campaigning in the Age of Zoom by Andrew Hodgson. There can be few benefits from the COVID-19 virus. Many people have become more isolated and travelling for many has become minimal. The growth in the use of Zoom has, however, changed the lives of many vision impaired people and has certainly in many cases brought our membership together. We have previously predicted in these pages that there might be benefits to our branches in using this form of communication. Many of our older and less confident members find travel difficult. Those of us who live in London sometimes forget that public transport in many parts of the country is poor, particularly in rural areas, thus meaning that some of our members who would like to attend branch meetings simply don't have the opportunity to do so. About a third of our membership is in a virtual branch, namely Central. For our existing branches, including Central, the use of Zoom can help break down the barriers of isolation and can bring isolated members into closer contact with other vision impaired people with similar interests. Zoom is also benefiting our campaign programme. The EC has been made aware for some time that we need to strengthen our links with our branches by improving channels of communication. There has been a feeling amongst branches that they are not in touch with our campaign strategy. Since the AGM, we have tried to rectify this fault by introducing regular campaign meetings on various topics. We regularly receive information on national consultations, and meeting by Zoom is a way of gathering information from members in our various branches to achieve a collective viewpoint on behalf of our organisation. So far, we have held two such meetings on the consultation of the Highway Code, one on pavement parking, one on accessible housing and one on e-scooters. These meetings are gradually gaining in popularity, with more and more members taking part. On the 14th of December, we will be holding another of these Zoom calls to launch our Support for Sight Loss campaign amongst the membership. It is well known that there has been a sharp decline in local authority rehabilitation and habilitation services, especially since the cutbacks of 2010. NFB UK wish to campaign to reverse this trend and for the first time to establish a uniform rehabilitation service throughout Great Britain. You will have recently received a circular outlining how you can help to reverse this trend and bring about a more equitable service for those who have recently lost their sight or whose condition has deteriorated, leading to the need for more input. Please get involved with all of our campaigns. Through Zoom, we can grow as a community and as an organisation which has relevance to vision impaired people today. Steady Cook by Bill Waddell. Some years ago, while on holiday in Scarborough, I went to a theatre version of the TV show Ready Steady Cook. On stage were four well-known TV chefs who took it in turns to cook a main meal dish from four or five types of food from a plastic bag sent upstage from members of the audience. The stage was equipped as a kitchen with some condiments and flour and milk. The chefs came up with some ingenious ideas for meals which all used the odd ingredients which were very entertaining. Recently, I was typing in the evening and found I was very hungry, as I had not eaten since lunchtime. I decided to stop work and get some food. I had some cooked sausages from yesterday in the fridge, so decided to have sausages, mashed potatoes made from powdered potato with tinned peas. I collected these and put them on the kitchen worktop between the sink and the microwave cooker. Next, I got two bowls and opened the tin of peas to put in the bowl for heating up. As I took the lid off the tin, I smelled tomato soup. How did this happen? As the tin had a sound label saying peas. I must have got the labels mixed up. Well, I thought, I can have tomato soup first, then have sausages and mashed potatoes afterwards. So I had the soup. Next, I got the tub of powdered potatoes and measured out three heaped spoonfuls into another bowl and boiled some water. With a mug, I poured the right amount of water into the potato powder and stirred the mixture. After a few seconds, I found the mixture did not thicken as usual. But I continued to stir and found it did not get any thicker. As the tub of powdered potato was new to me, I thought maybe this bran needs more powder, so I added another spoonful. After more stirring, the mixture did not get much thicker, so I decided to taste what this less thick potato tasted like. It tasted of custard. How on earth did this happen, as I had got the tub from the vegetable shell? I guess when unpacking food last time, I'd put the custard powder in the wrong cupboard. What to do? Custard and sausages do not go together, but I had bread and butter. I made a sausage sandwich with sauce. Very tasty. The custard went well with a small apple pie after reheating in the saucepan to smooth out lumps. Well, after all that, I had eaten a meal, but not what I intended. I immediately thought back to Scarborough Theatre. This had been my version of Ready Steady Cook. Have you had any misadventures in cooking meals? What about writing to Fed News with your amusing tales? Are you, like many others, going to be a solo Christmas dinner eater this Christmas? Cooking a Christmas dinner for oneself is such work. So what about getting a ready-made frozen Christmas dinner? I think the large supermarkets are able to do this. But if you are fed up with turkey and roast spuds, etc., what about treating yourself to a piece of smoked salmon? And to avoid cooking, get some tinned small new potatoes and tinned carrots and peas, or have a salad with the salmon. Or if you have a local butcher, they may do cold sliced roast beef or ham with your own mix of frozen vegetables, which can be a new adventure in eating. What about it? Lastly, no matter what you eat for Christmas, in whatever circumstance, may I say a very happy Christmas to you. Different Times, Different Comparisons by Carl Farrell. That awful figure of 70% plus of working age blind people being unemployed immediately reveals the tragedy of losing your sight. But once our visual impairment is officially recorded, we can qualify for a modest range of benefits from the state. So we can know our income this Christmas, whereas a lot of working age people are now having to adjust to having less money because of the loss of their job. Their loss is not our gain, but we probably do feel more secure than they do. In a similar way, other charities may be living on the edge of disaster if their money runs out after Christmas. We have money in reserve thanks to legacies from past years, but our non-legacy income is pitifully poor, being still less than 20% of our annual head office spending. We have had a few four-figure donations this year from members and also one from Leeds Branch. We continue to receive monthly and quarterly donations from good-hearted life members and others. But in spite of us often being locked down, unable to go out and spend, we appear to be donating less. Even though we are campaigning more effectively, members seem less impressed. How many other charities are gathering video or other evidence of e-scooter misuse or problems with cycling infrastructure? Was it not an NFB UK petition that collected some 500 organisation support to retain the BBC Red Button services? We aim to be a more active self-help organisation because actively, whether social or for campaigning, is wonderful therapy. With more annual income, we can do more therapy. If you cannot quite afford to donate to central funds, please make NFB UK your preferred charity when you shop online by using Easy Fundraising. Please also ask your family, your friends and acquaintances to sign up with Easy Fundraising and nominate the NFB UK as their choice to receive donations from the businesses that they shop with. With any luck, next summer we'll be able to do more therapy, but we will need more money to support it. If you can, set up a direct debit to the NFB UK account number 00099480, sort code 405240. Otherwise, contact the office and we will explain how to donate and help our causes. Getting into heaven. A Sunday school teacher was testing children to see if they understood the concept of heaven. He asked them, "If I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale and gave all my money to the church, would that get me to heaven?" "No," the children answered. "If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the garden, kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven?" Again, the answer was no. By now, the teacher was starting to smile. "Hey, this was fun." "Well, then, if I was kind to animals and gave sweets to all the children and loved my wife, would that get me into heaven?" Again, they all answered no. He was bursting with pride for them. "Well," he continued, "then how can I get into heaven?" A 6-year-old boy from Glasgow shouted out, "You got to be dead." "Don't stop me now, I'm having such a Zoom time," by the Virtually Eastbourne team. Following postponement of the 45th annual London Branch Eastbourne Social Weekend, the Virtually Eastbourne team of Pardy, Fiona, Jason, Jessica, Alex, Pretty, Janice and Berin got together to organise a virtual weekend via Zoom in early November. Excellent project management with regular team meetings, spreadsheets, a clear communication and marketing strategy, and delegation of tasks among team members ensured we could organise an innovative weekend of various events to suit all ages and interests that were logistically and technically fraught to organise in just over a month, but we succeeded. Utilising the unique strengths and expertise of each team member as a Zoom host or MC. The virtual weekend kicked off on Friday evening with a special performance of our theme song, "Don't Stop Me Now," followed by a mix and mingle using breakout rooms, virtual wine tasting, adult comedy night with 4 VI stand-up comedy sketch performers, an audio-described exercise session using tin cans, interactive events with guest speakers from Extant, R&IB and Seeable Holidays, a live bake-along to create mouth-watering banana and cinnamon buns, and accumulating with a raffle, quiz and musical entertainment, where we gave special recognition to Ted Herbert's 85th birthday, plus Valerie Clark receiving the British Empire Medal for decades of service to VIPs. We also held 2 headline events, Eastbourne's Got Talent, where 15 gifted VI performers showcased their talent, including singing, karaoke, comedy and impressions to a panel of 4 judges with an audience vote deciding the winner with a cash prize, and Eastbourne's Got Success, where 15 VI performers shone in the spotlight by inspiring and empowering others with their achievements. The raffle draw, which included generous prizes kindly donated by R&IB, raised £440 for London Branch activities. Feedback on the virtual weekend from the large number of participants has been wonderful, reaffirming the tangible benefits this innovative event brought during a difficult period of lockdown, where social connectivity through Zoom built on peer support, new friendships, combated fatigue, and the varied events allowed participants to learn, be inspired, and have fun. The united team effort of friends is testament to the great success of the weekend, showing that with innovative cross-sector collaboration of events, the social element is just as important as campaigning. We are delighted that it has been received that it has received positive media attention in the UK and abroad. Just Try TM by Mark Pample. I refer to the article in Fed News September 2020, Are You Sleeping Well? And would like to offer a very simple, effortless, effective and natural technique to really help with sleep, with so many other additional benefits for your well-being and health. The technique I practice is called Transcendental Meditation, otherwise known as TM. It is easy, effortless, and also reduces and even gets rid of stress. There is no concentration compared to other relaxation techniques, and you do not need to focus on anything. Once this simple technique has been learnt, the only requirement is to be able to sit comfortably in a chair and to close your eyes for 15 to 20 minutes twice a day. The effects during TM are amazing. Feelings of restful alertness. You do not go into a trance and you feel great afterwards. There are over 600 scientific research studies to prove the health benefits of TM to both the mind and physiology. Example, normalising blood pressure, brain functioning, enabling the body's organs, circulation, hormones, etc. to repair, maintain good structure, function, and to maximise good working order as the mind settles down whilst practising TM, and this in turn positively affects the whole system. After mediation, one feels energised, happier and more dynamic to cope with the stresses of modern life for the rest of the day. This is compatible with all lifestyles and all religious and non-religious beliefs. Most important to us, in particular, we do not need to use our eyesight and hearing to be able to practice this wonderful technique. The benefits of TM even accumulate further over time to enable the individual to reach and be fulfilled in life with a general feeling of wellness, as the immune system is also strengthened to help fight off illnesses and disease. Negative emotions such as anger, fear, and even depression and anxiety are significantly reduced, and you recover much quicker if you are having a bad day, whilst there is an increase in feelings of happiness and contentment and inner wisdom. To learn the technique, it is necessary to be taught by a qualified TM teacher, which can be done in a very short space of time, usually 1 to 2 sessions. And although there is a fee to learn this extremely beneficial practice, there is a sliding scale depending on your income and circumstances. For further information, please contact the TM Centre, https://uk.tm.org, or you can phone on 01695 51213, where advice can be obtained about how to learn the technique during the present time and beyond. You can also request a free, non-obligatory information pack and free introductory meeting to TM, whether virtually or attending in person at your nearest TM centre when it is safe to do so. As for sleep, nearly all of my dreams are now fascinating, fantastic and vivid, and I wake up feeling that I have had a good night's sleep. Information and announcements. NFB UK office closure. The NFB UK office will be closed for the Christmas break from Tuesday the 22nd of December 2020 and will open again on Monday the 4th of January 2021. Callers may phone to leave a message and these will be picked up on January the 4th. For any truly urgent issues, please phone the Treasurer on 07808 519 720. The Executive Council wishes all members, staff and friends a Merry Christmas and a Happier New Year. Lanyard to alert other members regarding social distances. Valerie Clark emails. Jane Sellers, one of our London branch members, has asked me to circulate the details of a lanyard to be worn to alert others of your social distancing difficulties. The Partially Sighted Society sells them at £1.80 each. Wear bright yellow and have the words clearly written in large black lettering, visually impaired, with the part sight symbol. I cannot see to socially distance. The Partially Sighted Society contact details are telephone 01302 965 915 or email reception@partsite.org.uk. Tax advice service by the RNIB. Get in touch with our friendly team through the helpline today if you or someone you care for needs our help. Telephone 0345 330 4897 from Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. or email tax@rnib.org.uk. Sharing information to support those living with sight loss. InfoShare is a very simple idea. Short audio messages of helpful information about anything to do with living with sight loss that anyone can record over the phone whenever they like. InfoShare makes sure all messages sound their best before they are heard by anyone else. Messages are then broadcast to visually impaired listeners across the UK online, on smart speakers, over the phone, as a podcast and on several specialist audio players. To phone in a hint, a tip, a bit of news or information, a comment or maybe to buy or sell a piece of daily living equipment, just call InfoShare on the standard rate number 03000 111 555. Further information can be found at www.infoshare.org.uk. Don't keep it to yourself, InfoShare it. InfoShare is a free public service run by the independent charity InfoSound, registered in England and Wales, number 114-2082, and in Scotland, number SC039929. We are funded solely by voluntary donations and grants. Senior Parachute Club. Senior Parachute Club. Yesterday, my daughter emailed me again, asking why I didn't do something useful with my time, like sitting around and drinking wine is not a good thing, I asked. Talking about my doing something useful seems to be her favourite topic of conversation. She was only thinking of me, she said, and suggested that I go down to the senior centre and hang out with the folks. I did this, and when I got home last night, I decided to play a prank on her. I emailed her and told her that I'd joined a parachute club. She replied, "Are you nuts? You were 80 years old and now you're going to start jumping out of aeroplanes." I told her that I even got a membership card and emailed a copy to her. She immediately telephoned me and yelled, "Good grief, Dad, where are your glasses? This is a membership to a prostitute club, not a parachute club." "Oh man, I'm in trouble," I said. "I really don't know what to do. I signed up for 5 jumps a week." The line went dead. Life as a senior citizen sometimes can be lots of fun. At least she stopped trying to tell me what to do. Conclusion. You've reached the end of November's Fed News. I hope you got something out of the items within its pages. You have your ideas and opinions and I want to hear them. Write to me, the editor, fednews@thenfbuk, contact details below. If I don't hear about it, I must assume it's not happening. Please mark submissions as for Fed News. The deadline for submitting pieces for the next issue is Wednesday the 13th of January 2021, but earlier submissions can get more favourable attention. If you are on Facebook or Twitter, use your account to give us a mention now. NFBUK contact details. Address: Sir John Wilson House, 215 Kirkgate, Wakefield, West Yorkshire, WF1 1JG. Telephone 01924 291 313. Email admin@nfbuk.org. Website www.nfbuk.org. Join us on Facebook and Twitter at NFBUK. Fed News aims to provide a magazine that keeps all members of NFBUK in touch with each other. We want all our members to enjoy the maximum benefit from being part of our organisation. Disclaimer: whilst making all reasonable efforts to provide correct information, NFBUK cannot guarantee that the data provided by this newsletter is accurate in every respect. Contents are passed on for recipient information only, and NFB UK does not endorse and is not responsible or liable for any content, advertising, products or other materials on or available from including projects, websites or resources. Fed News is a publication of the National Federation of the Blind of the United Kingdom for its members. Any items we consider should be shared with the world at large are published on our website. The NFB UK website is at www.nfbuk.org.